is KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host and civic reporter, Dennis Hart, who's here for our Independence Day special program. But first, a recap of this week's news.
Happy 4th of July, Susan, and to all of our listeners. Let's start on this 4th with the Boone News Republican, which reports that state transportation officials plan to close U.S. Highway 30 at the Des Moines River west of Boone sometime today, Wednesday. Officials say part of that highway west of the Des Moines River Bridge is likely to flood because of recent rain from the north and because of water backup from Sailorville Lake in Polk County, which the river flows into. Drivers will still be able to drive in and out of Boone from U.S. 30, but on a detour route. Governor Reynolds issued disaster proclamations for Boone, Dallas, Jasper, and Polk counties on Monday. Now, all of this is subject to last-minute changes, so be sure to monitor newscasts for the latest on all this. Also in the News Republican, word that a man was rescued from a grain storage area at the Landis Cooperative northeast of Boone on Friday after he got trapped while moving corn. When Boone Fire Department crews arrived, they found Landis employees working to free the man. He was buried up to his chest, and it took an hour to free him. The man did not suffer any serious injuries. The News Republican also reported that the Boone County Attorney's Office has decided that the fatal shooting of a Boone man by police as they were responding to a domestic abuse call at his home last April was justified. The county attorney's office said the shooting, which involved six officers, was reasonable force necessary to avoid injury or the risk to the life or safety of another. Police said when they arrived at the home at 602 2nd Street, Timothy Wayne Anderson charged them while he was holding a knife. Police ordered Anderson to drop the knife, and when he failed to comply, they opened fire, killing him. In the Nevada Journal, word that an intersection north of Nevada was blocked last Friday morning after a semi-load of calves went into a ditch. The 62 calves in the truck were headed to the Cowser Cattle Company near the intersection when the driver turned too short at the corner, causing the trailer to tip sideways. The driver was not injured. The calves were checked by an Iowa State University veterinarian, and a few were injured, but all were expected to survive. The Journal also reported that Story County Supervisor Loris Olson appeared at last week's Nevada City Council meeting. She talked to council members about a pilot program, and she and the other supervisors hope will add housing units in the county. Nothing has been approved, but the supervisors are trying to find out if there's any interest. The program would provide financial help for up to 24 new units. The council also talked about whether sidewalks should be added to some neighborhoods, but no action was taken. In the Story City Herald, a report that the emerald ash borer, which invades and eventually kills ash trees, has now spread to Buchanan, Hamilton, Hardin, and Pottawatomie counties. The borer was first discovered in Iowa 8 years ago and has now been detected in 61 counties. Trees infected with the borer first suffer branch dieback in the upper part of the tree. Eventually, often within 4 years, the trees die. Also in the Herald, the Story City Chamber of Commerce has rescheduled its annual duck race, which was supposed to be held last week. Now it's set for Tuesday, July 17th at 5 p.m. in Story City's South Park. Rubber ducks are released in the Skunk River at the Swinging Bridge in South Park, and they race to a predetermined finish line. Quite something to see. In the Tri-County Times, word that southeastern parts of Story County were hit hard by last Saturday's storms that dumped 7 to 10 inches of rain from Ankeny to Des Moines. From Maxwell and Collins up to Nevada, several inches of rain inundated already saturated ground. That resulted in flooded yards and basements. Some people in Maxwell said there was flooding in areas where they'd never seen water before. A man in Collins said he had what he called a river running through his basement. And the Times reported that a Ballard High School history teacher has won a prestigious award. Catherine Mine has been named a 2018 Elgin Hines Outstanding Teacher in the Humanities category. Mine teaches world history and serves as the Social Studies Department Chair at Ballard. Congratulations. And that is a summary of news from the Boone News Republican, the Nevada Journal, the Story City Herald, and the Tri-County Times. Of course, they'll have more news when their print editions come out this week, so check that out. On Friday, I'll be back here with you, Susan, with a news summary from the pages of the Ames Tribune.
Thank you, Dennis. One story from last week that I'd like to hear repeated was about Slater's 4th of July. As you reported, it's a very big deal for the town. The South Story towns, the Ballard Creek towns, have a nice tradition of sharing their assets. This is exemplified in the school district, which has elementary schools in Cambridge and Slater, and the middle school and high school in Huxley. But the high school doesn't have a swimming pool or a baseball field because that traditionally belongs to Slater. I mention this because they don't duplicate their summer festivals either. Cambridge has Fireman Days in June, Huxley has Prairie Fest at the end of August, and Slater has the 4th of July, which is attended by people from all over the area as well as class reunions and family reunions. So what did you say about that last week?
One of the fun things that we reported last week is that Slater High, which went out of existence 60 years ago, had a class reunion this past weekend, July 1st, and people were coming from classes from way back, right up until the very last class they had in 1958. And the oldest person coming was from the class of 1934, 101 years old, coming to this class reunion. 56 or 57 people had said they were coming out of 156 invitations, and I think that's just marvelous, don't you?
Yes, I do.
It's a great bid. So congratulations to the Slater folks and all of those who attended.
That's a great kickoff to covering the festivals throughout our area. As I started to explore this issue, I realized the 4th of July isn't like Memorial Day or Veterans Day, where the parades are the big deal. The big deal on the 4th of July is fireworks, and they are also a major expense for the city's budget, which leads to some interesting cost-saving measures. Ames frankly states that it schedules its fireworks for July 3rd, rain date on the 5th, because they can get a lot better deal with the companies that provide their fireworks if they don't set them off on the 4th. So I guess that this year that worked out very well for Ames. Last night was beautiful, but rain is predicted for tonight, the actual.
Right, and Ames set off the fireworks last night, as you say, and my family and I, our daughter Amy was in from California, and so she went with us to Ryman Gardens last night, where we watched the fireworks, which were set off in a parking lot near the stadium. It was a gorgeous night. We were joined by some friends here in Ames, and it was quite a deal. The gardens opened up in the late afternoon, early evening. They were open all day, but it was free admission after 6 o'clock last night. And it was quite a show. The Young Professionals of Ames, the City of Ames, Iowa State Universities all got together to present the fireworks. The Indigo Monks group played their music live at the gardens, and it was delightful. And there were other performers there, including the Iowa Youth Ballet. And there were improvisational performances, a performance of the Stars and Stripes Forever in the Campanile Garden. It was wonderful. And there were a lot of people like us who went out and took our folding chairs, and we put a picnic lunch together, a picnic dinner, and brought some beverages. And as the evening wore on, we had a good time talking with a lot of folks. And then when nightfall came, the fireworks went off. And as always, and this is not the first time I've attended this, I've done this for a number of years, it was wonderful. Ryman's just a wonderful place at any time, as you know. But watching the fireworks on July 3rd, even though it was the 3rd, 4th today, gave you a sense of pride. For all the country has gone through in its history and might be going through now, you're there with a group of people, and you're having a good time, and you see these fireworks go up, and the 4th is a quintessential American holiday. It was a fine time, Susan. We all had a great time out there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Let's listen to the Stars and Stripes Forever to bring that back to everybody who saw it and give a little of sense to those who didn't.
In case you just tuned in, this is the Local Talk 4th of July special on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Dennis Hart, and along with Susan Franzen, we're your hosts today with a look at how the 4th of July is celebrated here in central Iowa.
We didn't try to cover all the towns, just Ames and the county seats in our listening area. That's Nevada, Boone, and Jefferson. From evening fireworks to pancake breakfast, the city of Ames is hosting a long list of activities for the 4th of July.
And depending on when you're listening to this, you may already have taken part in this. Residents, welcome to City Hall, the City Council, staff, and mayor for a free pancake breakfast, which began at 8:30 a.m., ran until 10:30.
After that, there was the Ames Parade, led by the American Legion Post 32. The parade followed a path along Main Street and Douglas. The American Legion celebrated its 100th anniversary alongside 90 other participants in the parade. This year, two parade grand marshals, the honorary leaders of the parade, commemorated the moment, the first being the American Legion commander and the second being Mayor John Hala. According to City Hicks of the Main Street Cultural District, Hala is being recognized because this is his first year as mayor and for all of the great things he has done for Ames in the past.
And, as always, a lot of other activities around Ames on the 4th. For people who enjoy running, the Friendship Arc 5K race at Ada Hayden Park. Main race began this morning, 8 o'clock, and the Free Kids Run began just before that. And, as always, the Bill Riley Talent Show Competition on Main Street at Burnett. Lots of folks taking part in that. Always fun to watch.
Our special story for the Ames Parade is an interview with the commander of the American Legion as the Legion celebrates its centennial year.
I think we'd all like to hear that, so let's sit back and relax and take a listen.
My name is Patrick Phillips. I am the commander of Post 37 of the American Legion here in Ames, Iowa.
And I guess this 4th of July is a very special one for your post.
Absolutely. Not only the 4th, but the next 15 months are going to be really exciting for our post and for the American Legion. We're getting ready to celebrate our 100th anniversary here in the United States, and so there's a lot of events planned. And then the kickoff is kind of the 4th of July coming up. The history is as interesting as what we do today. The American Legion actually started in Paris, France, in 1919, and it was headed up by Theodore Roosevelt Jr., and he was an officer in the Army, and he enabled about every division in Europe to come together for a meeting in Paris after the end of the war in order to organize an organization for members of the military to keep in touch with each other and to help fellow veterans that were hurt. And so that's where it started. And from there, it came to the United States, and their first convention was in Minneapolis. And that's what we're getting to have our convention this year in August. We'll be in Minneapolis as well. But the history and the postage is kind of an interesting side note. The post is post number 37. It means it was the 37th post or set of veterans to get to the state capitol to put their initial papers in 1919. And so there was quite a race that day. And it was very muddy, and you can imagine it wasn't many paved roads back then. But we were number 37 at that time.
Were these the divisions that had gone in together?
No, they were divisions that were still there at the end of the war. So they were all the Army divisions that came together at the end of the war. And so they came from throughout Europe. And these were the doughboys that all came back together. And they decided they needed to get together before they all dispersed back to the States and went home, because they all went home. But they wanted to have a formality put together where they could actually still keep in touch.
How did that work in the beginning?
It actually worked really well. It was amazing the number of individuals that signed up. They all wanted to do this, and throughout the United States. And right now, we have somewhere in the ballpark of 18,000 posts in the United States, but there are also posts in five foreign countries that have American veterans associated with them, and they're in foreign countries, France, Mexico, Washington, D.C., Guam. So it's interesting. In fact, it's just not on the borders of the United States. We have actual posts throughout the world.
Today's veterans are veterans of all wars, right?
Veterans of all wars since 1919. And obviously, we don't have any World War I vets left with us. And our number of World War II vets is unfortunately dwindling quickly. But there are certain time periods during wartime. The veterans that served during that time period are eligible to become members of the American Legion. Since 1990 until current day today, any veteran that served, whether it was wartime or whether it was in a combat zone or not, are eligible to be an American Legion member.
What's your story?
I served for 29 years, both on active duty and in reserves. I went in at the end of Vietnam. I didn't have to go to Vietnam, thank goodness. But then I got back after my last tour. I was a commander of a unit that in Afghanistan in 2003 and came back, and I retired. I thought it was for young people. It's getting a little long in the tooth. And so the Legion was the one way that I found back in 1999 that I was able to start talking to friends that were in other posts and keeping in touch with those people. You know, so when they talk about when you retire from the military, you know, you don't really miss the military that much, but what you do is you miss the people. And this is my way of getting back. And what I found out once I got into it, that was a kind of a simple way to get into it. But once I got into it, I found out really what we are is a service organization. And we are the largest veteran service organization in the world. Nearly 2 million members worldwide. And what we do is all there to support not only veterans, but their families, and as well as that is the communities they're in. And so you'll notice that the Ames Post here, you'll see us advertise a little bit. A lot of things we do are open to the public, like on the 4th of July this year. Obviously, we have the parade, which we'll be in. We have an honor guard that's in that parade. And then we also have an ice cream social that's open to the public. And then we have a coloring contest for kids to color a birthday card for the American Legion. So it's always well attended. It's a lot of fun. But our service is the root of our organization. Second to that, when you look at the things we do, one of the biggest things we deal with is the American Legion actually has four parts. You have the American Legion, which are made up of veterans. And our post has over 500 veterans in the Ames area that belong to it. So it's a large post. But there's also other parts of the post. There's called the auxiliary. And the auxiliary is the spouses, daughters, granddaughters of veterans. And they're a very active group as well. We also have what's called the Sons of the American Legion. And these are members that are not necessarily veterans themselves. Some of them are. But they were sons or grandsons of veterans. And they play a vital role in what we do. The last part we have is kind of a newer group, and it's called the Legion Riders. Legion Riders is an organization of legionnaires, auxiliary members, and sons of the American Legion that ride motorcycles, and they go on parades, they do funeral escorts, they do fundraising for Legacy Run, which is they raise a lot of money nationally to help support educating children of fallen soldiers. So we call it the family. The family of the American Legion is just not veterans. It's a lot of people. So our post, if you look at the total membership here in Ames, of our post is over 1,000. So it's a good group. I love the people, and it's a lot of fun. We do a lot of work. The money we raise, 100% of the money we raise, we turn around and give back to the community, to the veterans, their families. It's a vital endeavor, and I found out that that's one of the reasons I love being a member of the Legion, is that I like the service aspect of helping other veterans. If you look at the history, which is really what we're getting ready to talk about a little bit, is the history of the American Legion is here in Ames. We did a lot of to look at. We actually have a website, a national website that anybody can go to that is has a centennial in it for this next year. And the Ames Post has their own page on there, which has a lot of the history. We actually ran the airport here in the 20s. No one would run the airport, and they were going to close it. And so the Legion stepped in and said, we'll run the airport for you. A lot of our guys were pilots.
Sure.
So for, I think it was like 2.5-3 years, the American Legion ran the airport here in Ames. Something that's kind of interesting, to give you an idea of what the Legion does on a national level, okay, mm-hmm. It's kind of important because actually this year is the first year, this last year, that our national commander is female. And that's a big thing. Female veterans have become such an important part of our, not only our military, but our American Legion. And that has been, we see that more and more every day. Females, veterans or female, even on active duty, have become combatants. They are actually, they are flying jets. They're on the ground doing combat. So it's important to keep them involved with it. And they bring a whole much great perspective to what the Legion does. And we're excited. Every year we have more and more female veterans join the organization, and that's wonderful. But having the first national commander as a female who's from Wisconsin has been a great bonus for the Legion. You know, what we do is we actually go to Congress every year, and the national commander goes up there to kind of give a report on what we do because our charter is by Congress. Okay? It's not something we just developed. Congress actually had to approve it. And so we have some certain limitations what we can do, but we have to give a report. And so some of the ideas of what we do on an annual basis, they log at least 3.7 million volunteer hours a year in the United States. When you look at that, we provide assistance to over 180,000 veterans every year. And this assistance a lot of times is in dealing with the VA, providing them access and getting them health care, or providing them benefits. And getting benefits for wartime injuries. As well as on top of that, we award more than 8,000 medals to the junior ROTC students in the nation. We sponsor more than 2,500 scout units in the United States. If you look at our post here, we also sponsor every year here in Ames at the high school the academic awards. The academic awards are from the American Legion. And usually I've gotten to do it the last 3 years to present these awards. And we're talking upwards of 600 people in attendance of those at the high school. That's a really neat thing to do. They get their letter in academics from us, which is really kind of neat. The other thing we do is our post here in Ames sponsors two American Legion baseball teams. And typically those are high school students that probably play baseball for Ames. But in the off season, they play, keep their skills up, they play for the American Legion. And right now they're getting ready to have their state tournament pretty soon, too, so that's kind of exciting. We have a lot of different funds that are available for veterans. This last flooding we just had, we helped a young lady in Kelly, whose husband is currently deployed, and she's a veteran, and her basement flooded. She has three young kids and didn't know what to do. And so we were able to step in, get the plumbers out there, everybody clean up her house, everything else, and provide the funds from one of our funding projects in order to pay for all that. So but, you know, from our standpoint, we really like being a part of the community. And we try to get the word out. We're on Facebook. We have a website here in town, but if you go there, you can find out what the activities are for the American Legion here at Post 37. Feel free to come down and participate in some of our open events, our dinners. We have some great dinners. We have a steak dinner September through May every year. It's the first Saturday of the month and at 5:30, and it's a ribeye. It's wonderful. We also have a burger night. We also have a tenderloin night. We have fish fry every other month. So we have a lot of events to bring the public in and get to meet us.
This is the Local Talk Independence Day special on KHOI Community Radio. Welcome. I'm Dennis Hart, and along with Susan Franzen, we're your hosts for today with a look at how the 4th of July is celebrated here in central Iowa, and is it celebrated? We just heard from Pat Phillips telling us about the history and activities of the American Legion, which is kicking off the celebration of its centennial year today, July 4th.
Beginning with Nevada, we have a variety of different approaches from our county seats to celebrate the 4th. Here's Lynn Scarlett to tell about the traditional celebration in Nevada.
We're going to kick off the 4th of July in the morning with a breakfast by the Nevada First Responders and the Fire Department. This is a free will donation, and any funds that are received will purchase medical equipment and training for the fire department. And the breakfast will start around 6 a.m. and run until the parade starts. And then that morning, beginning at 9 a.m., you can start lining up for the annual 4th of July parade. Lineup is along E Avenue between 7th Street and 11th Street. At 10 o'clock, the parade will start, and it proceeds north on 6th Street to N Avenue. And then right after the parade, you can go to the City Hall Park, where the community band will be doing an encore performance of their 4th of July concert. And then we've also got lunch at the American Legion, and that starts at 11 o'clock, and it goes until 2. It's a traditional chicken noodle dinner. It includes pie and ice cream, and that's from 11 to 2. And then also on the 4th of July morning, right after the parade, you can head to the Kiwanis Butterfly Garden, which is located on 11th Street, just west of Mosaic and towards the start of the bike trail, where they'll be holding a ribbon cutting as well as a live butterfly release. And then that evening, we've got fireworks out at Score Park, and our friends at Rasmussen Bacon Funeral Home will be giving away snow cones, popcorn, and bottled water starting at 7 o'clock until the fireworks start.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've got a packed day. You said that the band concert was an encore to their 4th of July concert. Now, where's the 4th of July concert?
Every Tuesday night, our community band does a performance at the City Hall Park. And so they'll be doing their regular performance on Tuesday night, July 3rd, and then they're going to do an encore performance on Wednesday right after the parade at City Hall Park.
You've got a wonderful lineup there.
Thank you.
Well, and thank you for talking to us, telling us about it.
You bet. I'm happy to help.
Bye-bye, Lynn.
Bye.
And Boone is doing something different. And you, Susan, you've been looking into that.
At first, I couldn't find anything about the parade or fireworks online. Then I ran across the Eve of Destruction at the Boone Speedway with, quote, spectacular fireworks after the show, unquote. I could hardly believe this until I checked with the Chamber of Commerce and was told that all they had was the fireworks out at the Speedway.
Okay.
So I called Rob Watton, the owner of the Speedway, and here's his story. Just looking for 4th of July events in Boone, what I saw was the Eve of Destruction with spectacular fireworks. So
we've been doing this 4th of July deal for several years now, and it's they really do a nice job with the fireworks. And in addition to that, we have a couple of race programs, a couple of classes of cars that we run, and then we get into the Eve of Destruction part of it where we do some rollover contests, and we got a big jump and some other crash and bang stuff. So it's usually a pretty good affair.
For somebody who really doesn't know anything about stock car racing, could you give just a five-minute introduction for them?
Sure. Well, racing in general, if you see it on television, isn't much different than what we do here. It's just smaller cars and less expensive. For the 4th of July, we'll have probably 35 or 40 race cars that we'll put on a couple of programs, and then we go into our Eva Destruction part of it, which is the rollover contest and a couple of slam and bang deals and a burnout contest. And of course, the end of the program is we're jumping a motorhome off a bigger ramp for the big finale.
This sounds dangerous. Do people get hurt?
We haven't had anybody hurt. It is dangerous. There's no question about it. You just don't jump off one of them big ramps and expect not to have something happen. But so far, we've been pretty lucky. We've never hurt anybody.
And so what kind of people have the desire to do that kind of dangerous stuff?
Oh, mercy, I wouldn't have a clue. I guess some of these guys who are adrenaline junkies, I'd say that's why they do it, because it's such a big adrenaline rush.
Well, I take it you're not a stock car driver. How did you develop the track? What motivated you?
Well, I've been around race cars all my entire life. I started when I was 15 years old, working on a sprint car out of California, and then it progressed into a local race car, and then I came to Des Moines and got involved with several people who were involved with the sprint car business, and I worked for them for a couple, 3 years, and then I went out on my own and came here to Boone Speedway.
And did you build Boone Speedway, or was...
It was already done.
What happened to the man who built it?
He got killed in a dump truck crash, and then, of course, that left the Speedway with nobody to run, and he's the one that developed it. And he was a long time ahead of his time. He was 20 years ahead of everybody else of how a Speedway should be developed, and he did just a tremendous job here at Boone.
When was it built? When was it developed?
We had our 50th anniversary last year.
Okay.
So, been here a while, but I've been here 41 years, I think.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's the Eve of Destruction at the Boone Speedway, starting at 7:30, July 4th, on the south side of Highway 30, and shortly before the main entrance to downtown Boone at Story Street. The address of the Speedway is 1481 223rd Place, Boone, Iowa.
Well, that is certainly a departure from tradition.
But when you see what's coming up in Boone, you might understand why they couldn't find the energy or volunteers for a parade. Here's what's coming up. The Boone Municipal Band Festival on July 14th at Herman Park, and the Boone County Fair from the 19th to the 22nd at the Boone County Fairgrounds. And I do have some testimonials. I have a testimonial from one of our new volunteers. Saw the fireworks in Boone last year and said, yes, they were fabulous. You can see them all over Boone. Why should the city spend the money? And my only report on Jefferson comes from the Chamber of Commerce website, where the financing of fireworks is discussed quite frankly. In Boone, they're at the Speedway at no cost to the city. In Jefferson, with the 4th of July holiday coming up, the city of Jefferson is once again partnering with a private entity for the fireworks display. Mike Palmer says the city has teamed up with the Wild Rose Casino and Resorts for their fireworks display to be held at dusk on the 4th. He points out that last year was the first year the two entities worked together. The city budgets $3,000 per year for its public fireworks display, and last year Wild Rose put in $7,000 for a total of a $10,000 display. The two entities work together so that their display will be no less than 30 minutes, so you can get an idea what expensive productions these are for the communities. The fireworks will be shot off on the north side of the Wild Rose property. The public is invited to park in the Wild Rose parking lot to view the fireworks.
Sounds like it's going to be a fun show indeed.
Yes.
Maybe you and I should drive up.
Well, actually, yeah. You know, we could probably get hit, particularly if fireworks are canceled in some places tonight, as they might be because of the prospective weather. I mean, you could watch fireworks on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Yes, and I did last night on the 3rd, so
yeah, well,
I'm open
so you've got 2 days to go.
There you go. Okay, all right, very good. This is the Local Talk Independence Day special on KHOI Community Radio. Welcome. I'm Dennis Hart, and along with Susan Franzen, we're your hosts for today with a look at how the 4th of July is celebrated here in central Iowa, and is it celebrated?
We're going to start off our Independence Day medley with Ring the Bells by Charles Knicker. The rest will be more familiar.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where I will explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Dennis Hart and I, Susan Franzen, have been your hosts for today. Other voices you heard were Lynn Scarlett, Patrick Phillips, and Rod Watton.
You can listen to today's Local Talk show, our 4th of July extravaganza, and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There you'll also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. One more time, that's khoifm.org.
Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Stars and Stripes Forever by the President's Own Marine Band, Ring the Bells by Charles Knicker, and a medley of patriotic songs.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you'd like to join the team as a reporter, and we'd love to have you, contact us at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us if you decide to become a member or renew your membership today. Just look for that yellow donate button.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI meaningful and possible. Thanks for listening, and
see you again on the radio.